had a friend like me. That's right. That's right. I got 1,300 friends on Facebook. You ain't never had a friend like me. And I'm like a discipling machine here, man. I mean, one of my friends pops up. They get a little offline. I'm a bam. I correct. You get right back online. What are you doing? I think that video was from God. I've never had a friend like God. I dial him up in prayer. Boom, here it is. I am the friend they've never had. Church has never had a friend like me before. I think this is amazing right here. Honey, do we got to go to church today? Do we got to?
Do we
got
to go to church? Yes, we have to go to church.
Well, it's just like, all right, I get this message from God about being a friend. I get that. I got discipling going on here. I posted this evangelistic little video that, I'm reaching thousands, maybe internationally. I can rest when I want to, and I don't got to go down to that church, get all the kids ready, give all my money away. Are you sure? I want you to think through this. I want you to think about this day and age, about 2018. I want you to think about all this. Do we really got to go to church? Do we really got to go to church?
Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. Are you kidding me? Yes, we have to go to church. By the way, how's the bank account looking?
Bank. Oh, just a second. Got it. Yep. Woo. Fine, honey. Bank account is fine. Thank you very much. Okay, took care of that. Yeah. Wow. I don't know, man. I got the music I like here. Served up my way. Never had a friend like you. I don't got to go down to that church. I don't got to listen to all the complaining, all the fussing, all the relationship stupidity. I dial it up right here. I take care of business. I'm done. I don't like it. They start messing with me. Off you go. I just don't understand this church thing. I just don't understand why anybody would want to go to church. I really, really don't. They ain't never had a friend like me. They ain't never had a friend like Ma. How much you want to guess? That's not too fictional today. That scenario isn't too made up. There may be some truth to that. There may be some people saying today, why would I walk into that cesspool of complaining and relational garbage? Risk all that with all those people when I can sit right here in front of my computer terminal and my phone and my TV and do everything I need to do for the Lord. What would your answer be if somebody posed that to you? Yes, you need to go to church. Yes, you need that family down there, although they are so totally messed up, what would be your argument? What would be your rationale against that versus this? The headache, the problems. Those who want God to be a genie in a bottle. I just want it to be just exactly like I want it. God, now that's my prayer. Could you make these people all kind of change, conform, all kind of shape into how I think church should be, please? Could you just make this place more, let me be the genie in the bottle and zap that church because they don't know what they're doing. Why would I risk that? Why would I come down here and dive in the middle of this? Why would we get up Sunday morning and go to church? And it's so much work and all these kids around. What would be your answer to that? We've been talking about family devotions, being devoted to this family, a family of Christ. I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And this is what I'm going to do with this chapter. Here's one good reason for coming to church. Mason gave me a sticker with Pluto on it. That's worth it. Here's Donald Duck. So here's what I'm going to do with this passage of Scripture. You know this passage of Scripture because what it does is it poses preaching in a known language, prophesying, proclaiming in a language you can understand versus what's called, often known as tongues. And in this passage of Scripture, let's just say it is speaking in a language that is unknown to those listening, okay? We won't go into what they are. I've explained what they are, and I'm happy to do that. But for the sake of simplifying this passage, the writer is wanting us to achieve something. He is wanting the goal to be something. And so he says, and the two opposing characters are speaking in the church where it's understandable versus speaking in the church where it's not understandable. Okay, that's it. And he says, this is where we're going when we gather together. This is what needs to happen. Now, let me share with you. Just look real carefully at verse 19. I want to set this stage for you. Verse 19. Nevertheless, in church. So we are in church. We are gathered. Okay, you see that little phrase? Nevertheless, in church. Look at verse 23. If therefore the whole church comes together. Okay, so we've come together. We're in church. In verse 26, then says as well. What then, brothers, when you come together? So, the context of this, and there's more later, but the context is that we are gathered. We're together now. Okay, we've all come together. The church has come together. It's Sunday morning in church, and we've all come together. And so, I need you to do this, the writer says. Now, this is what he wants to happen. And the key phrase, this is like a sermon built on a phrase, but I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to show you where he says this over and over and over. The key phrase is chapter 14, verse 12. Look at verse 12. So with yourselves, since you are eager to manifest for manifestations of the Spirit, you're eager to use spiritual gifts. Here's the phrase. Strive to excel in building up the church. That's your key phrase this morning. Strive, work hard, seek, pursue, put your energy in to what? No. Strive, seek to excel. To excel, superabundance. You're striving, you're going to work hard to be the best, be the most, put everything you have. You are going to be excellent. Excellent. You strive and you work hard not to do some, not to do a little, not to kind of fit in somewhere. I want you to strive to be excellent at building up the church. Don't just, well, I'm involved, I do a little bit, well, I'm not sure where, I don't know, I don't have any gifts, I don't know, that church, they're so stupid, these people, they don't know how to do church, I don't know why this is here, why is that there, why is that, why did they do, no. Strive to be excellent at building. You're the church, I'm looking at the church, we're not talking about walls and lights, I'm talking about people. We're together. And you, church, each one of us, are to put our pedal to the metal to excel. The very best you got. The top of the line, super abundant, overflowing, the definition there, at building up the church. Nothing short, excel, excellent at building this body. You know, we have to be together to do that. And I've already shown you, when you come together, come together. Hebrews says, don't neglect coming together. You need to do this, and you need to strive to excel at building up the church. Let me show you why this is the theme of this passage. Look with me, verses 3 and 4. On the other hand, the one who prophesies, he speaks clearly, speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. Verse 4. The one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. So, for this conversation, the one who speaks in a way that nobody understands when you come together, he builds himself up. But that's not what I want. I want you to strive to excel to build up the church. The one who speaks plainly when you're gathered, he's building the church. He's trying to build the church. And it says here, he gives a couple of ideas. He speaks to the people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation or comfort. So a couple ideas there for building up the church. But he's building up. The one who speaks, this is speaking ministry, he prophesies. When you speak, build up the church. Let me just put it that way. When we speak, build up the church. When you have something falling out of your mouth, build up the church. Build up the church. Strive to excel with what falls out of your mouth to build up the church. Encourage. Comfort. A couple of good ways to do it. Second one. At the end there, end of verse 5. The one who prophesies greater than the one who speaks in tongues. The one who speaks clearly is greater than the one who speaks in unclear language, unless someone interprets. Why? So that the church may be built up. Speaking it unclearly, you build yourself up. That's not why we're together. Speak to build up the church. Number 3, I've read this verse to you already. Strive to excel in building up the church. Verse 12, look at verse 18. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. Nevertheless, in church, I'd rather speak 5 words with my mind in order to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. He wants, when the church is gathered, he wants us to build each other up. And Paul says, I want to instruct people. That's part of what I do. I instruct people. I build them up. Verse 26b. Let all things be done for building up. Let all things be done for building up. In verse 31, you can all prophesy one by one so that all may learn and all be encouraged, built up. In the church is learning, it's instructing, it's encouraging, it's comforting. Whatever falls out of your mouth, let it be clearly understood and for the striving to excel in the building each other up. In the building us up. Now, there's one other component that we need to look at. And that's in this same chapter, beginning at verse 13. Therefore, one who speaks in a tongue or an unclear language, a language nobody understands, he should pray that he may interpret it. For, listen to this, if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. Okay, stop right there. If you're speaking, using a spiritual gift of a language that nobody understands, your spirit is getting something out of it. but your mind is unfruitful. You're not using your mind. You're not thinking. Your mind isn't engaged. It's a spirit thing. And you're building yourself up. Your spirit feels really good. But your mind isn't engaged when you're speaking in this thing, quite honestly. And he says, I want your minds engaged. I want your minds working. I want your minds growing so you can learn and be instructed and do various things. I want your mind, when you gather, I want your mind engaged. And this spiritual gift of unknown languages does not engage your mind. If I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind, your mind is unfruitful. What am I to do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will pray with my mind also. Listen to this one. I will sing praises with my spirit, but I will sing with my mind also. Did you know when we're singing, that's just not about a feel good in here? Man, that really touched me in here. Did you know that? Whatever songs we're singing, it's not just about, oh, I love that song. Oh, that's so beautiful. Did you know when we sing, we're supposed to use our mind? Our mind is supposed to be engaged. We're supposed to be thinking about the words to these songs and building ourselves and each other up. I was once at a service. And it was a mixed service. It was a big crowd, and it was in Elkhart, and there was a lot of people, and there was like Anglo people like me, and there was a lot of Hispanic people there as well. And so at one point, this lady got up to sing, and she started singing this song in Hispanic Latin language, whatever, right? And so part of the group was like, and I was there going like, kind of felt like a out of beat kind of church person, you know, kind of like. And I was kind of recognizing, I think a little bit, I think I was kind of recognizing kind of the tune to that. But I had no idea what she was saying or singing. And I just couldn't quite get into it. You know, I just couldn't quite go there. I thought it was like I wanted to real bad. And I saw these other people over there and they were just kind of, but I couldn't sing with my mind. I couldn't hardly sing with my spirit because it just wasn't hitting me. You know what I'm saying? I had no idea what she was saying. When you sing, I want you to use your mind. I want you to think about these words that we're singing. I want them to go from your mind into your spirit. I can sing with my mind and my spirit. I want you to go that direction. Otherwise, if you give thanks with your spirit, how can anyone in the position of an outsider say amen to your thanksgiving when he does not know what you are saying? For you may be giving thanks well enough, but the other person's not being built up. When you come to church and we speak, we're supposed to be giving thanks. We're supposed to be praising God with a clear message. I give thanks today to my Lord, and it builds up other people because they understand the thanks and they can say amen. I come to church today, I said, God moved in my life today. God answered my prayers today. God was working in me this week, and I'm so thankful. Jesus Christ is alive. And we all say
amen.
With my mind, in a clear annunciation of praise to God. And we're all built up by someone giving thanks, by someone pouring out praise to God. We're all built up because that's what we're here to do, to give thanks. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. Nevertheless, in church, I'd rather speak five words with my mind to give out instruction than 10,000 words in language you can't understand. With my mind. We are here to engage our mind. We are here to share. We are here to strive, to excel, excel at building up the church with the things we say. That's our passage. That's the core of what he is teaching for the church gathered. So we all have to ask ourselves. Number one, how hard am I working? How hard am I striving? Not just to be a little bit, but to be the very best I can be and do to build us up because we gather for that. How hard am I striving? And I'm going to tell you, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have the Holy Spirit who has something to say through you. I don't know if it's singing, giving thanks, sharing some wisdom, something you learned in your Bible this week. I don't know what it is. It could be comfort. It could be comforting. We have a lot of hurting people here. It could just be you putting your arm around somebody and saying, man, God is with you. I went through that. This verse meant a lot to me. That'll go a long way. That'll go a long way. Are you striving to excel at building up the church? That's our question. How hard are you striving? Do you understand what you have? Strive. Put your very best effort into excelling to build up the church. Secondly, does the content that comes pouring out of your lips build up at all? Or is it mostly complaining, arguing, correcting, gossiping, grumbling about the church? You need to evaluate. And we all do. We all need to evaluate the content coming out of our mouth. Because we are here to excel in building up the church. Thirdly, and finally, it's a miracle. I'm about to close. Let me show you something. Focus is something that many of us struggle with in our high-paced, high-tech world. There are so many things demanding our attention that we have a hard time giving significant focus to any of them. We live in an age of great distraction. A word that is often thrown around these days is multitasking. We don't believe we are distracted. Instead, we believe we are able to divide our attention between multiple things at once. We believe multitasking allows us to work more efficiently and connect more expansively. Recent studies, however, show this is not the case. In an article in Psychology Today, Dr. Nancy Napier writes, "Much recent neuroscience research tells us that the brain doesn't really do tasks simultaneously as we thought and hoped it might. In fact, we just switch tasks quickly." She goes on to note that our brains go through a start-stop process every time we switch between various points of focus. While we want to believe this multitasking makes us more effective and efficient, the data actually shows it cuts our output in half. This cuts our output in half. we really don't get more done. We switch, switch, switch. And every time we do, our brain has to switch and change direction. And the true efficiency, the true excellency of relationship is right here. One person at a time, looking at one person in the face, and then another, and then another. And that's how relationships happen. Not there. Not there. And that leads to my final application that is kind of burning on my heart and mind this morning after the week we've had. Why is it important for us to strive as a group of people together to build this group of people to the most excellent, upbuilding group of people we can have? Just so Pastor Terry doesn't go home and take more aspirin and Excedrin? No. You enjoy that. Why is it so important that we strive to excel, to build these relationships, to come together, to upbuild? And what comes out of our mouth is upbuilding. Why is it so important? Well, let me share what Terry and I saw last night. We went to the band competition. And Plymouth, they all have a theme. They sing about, they play about three songs and they have some props. And it's built around a theme. Plymouth High School theme was a light of hope. A light of hope. And so as they marched around this field, they had these lanterns with that were the symbolic of the light of hope. And at one point, they played a recording of a narrator narrating their performance and saying this: in any one day in America, 1,400 youth from age 9 to 12 will try and take their own life. We want to be a light of hope. In the time it takes us to perform this performance, and we think they said 70 youth in America from grades 9 through 12 will try to take their life in America. We think they said 70. But for sure, every day in America, 1,400 youth from a grade 9 through 12 try to take their life. We want to be a light of hope. As we were walking in, we noticed other bands gathering with their theme on their t-shirt, broken. Another one said, the demons inside. And I'm guessing that the theme was, we're broken. We've got things inside, and 1,400 of us a day are going to try and take our life, and we're going to sing about it and put it before you. And my thought is, do I want any of those kids coming in here listening to this garbage that goes on, or do I want them coming in here and being upbuilt? Do I want these kids, our kids, do I want them growing up in here and being upbuilt by the things that come out of our mouth, or do I want them to come in here and go, man, I heard such and such in the hall, and all they were doing was arguing and fussing about this or about that, or I don't know. Why are such and such an arguing? And what's the? I'm asking you, what do you want this place to be? I don't want none of these kids to come in here and leave and go home and say, Mom, do we got to go to church? Can't I just go here? Why strive to excel, to upbuild this place with what comes out of our mouth? Because we don't serve a genie. It'll give us all the baklava we want and part of column A and all of column A. That's not God. Strive to excel, to build this place up. And if you can't think of any good reason, look around at every one of these little young faces and say, because I don't want them walking out the door and becoming one of 1,400. There's hope in here. There's hope here. Isn't there?
Yes.
What kind of crap incubator are we going to build? It's your mouth. It's your fussing. It's your complaining. It's not your genie. We serve a living Savior who wants us to strive, to excel, to build ourselves up. We are the light of this world, my Bible says. We shine to the light. And I, by the way, I just don't want kids coming in here. I want every single broken person coming in here to see hope in here, in the upbuilding, the commitment we have to upbuild this place, each other, not tear each other down. We have got to stop and ask ourselves, what do we want to be? Shoot. Eldon and June went down the street the other night for hot dogs and walked into another church and two people were going, dip, 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 dip. Is that what you want? You have any control over your mouth? I hope you do. I hope the Spirit has control over your mouth. It's the dying Christ of the cross that comes out. I'm not here for myself. My Jesus died on the cross, and I want to share that. I want to die for you. I want to die to build you up. And anybody that comes in this door, it's not about me. I don't have a genie. It's about you. It's about Him. I want to die. I am a servant. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. Man, if we get that message, we're gonna fix some lives. We're going to share some hope. If this stays all about me, good luck. Good luck. Our Savior died on a cross. Our Savior gave His life up for us. That's our model. That's our example. Is what comes out of my mouth for that? Is that what this is about? Strive. Strive. I am begging you. I am begging you. Do an inventory of what comes out of your mouth. Strive to excel. Strive to be the best at building up the church. Strive. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for our children. May we be good stewards of them. May we be good stewards of your gospel. May we be the light that you have told us we will be. In Jesus' name, amen.